Welcome to the podcast for Refuge City Church. We hope that the message today blesses you and inspires you to be a refuge that embraces others.
This morning we launch into a series of messages that have a caption and then a title. So the caption is Unity So That. And then we're going to be dealing with some different variables. Today, unity so that we are one with God. Next week is unity so that we're one with family and those intimate around about us. And then the third week, we're going to broaden the circle, so to speak, and unity so that we're one with the body or one with the church. So you're not going to want to miss these 3 weeks. All of us, so many of, as I just stated, many of you probably know that we plan quite a distance out for certain things. These series of messages, the beginnings of the thought of them were developed in April at a retreat that we had with all of our campus pastors. So this morning, it's very exciting because obviously there's twists and turns in delivery and presentation, but all of our campuses, all four of our campuses this morning are going to be launching this theme and going to be going through the information that you're going to receive. And that's, how many know it's important for us to be one in one accord, one body, and in one mind? More than ever before, give me an amen. It's very important that we walk in that and that we facilitate that. This morning, kind of in our main topic, unity so that we're one with God. You can't be in unity with anything else. And I want everybody to understand this. It's not just building blocks or stepping stones, but it's truth. It's impossible. There's not even a probability. It's impossible for us to do and accomplish the purpose that God's desired and destined for each one of us to do that in every variable of our life if we're not first in unity with God. If you're not individually in unity with God, you can never be in unity with your family, and you're going to be very, very hard-pressed, definitely very hard-pressed to be in unity with the body of Christ, because something's always going to frustrate you, something's going to aggravate you, and a lot of the context of what we're launching this morning that I think is so premier and so important and so intense is what do we need to do or what do we need to re-engage? Sometimes it's not a matter of doing something different. Sometimes it's a matter of doing something we used to do better again or to start again. How many know what I'm talking about? We've neglected something. We forgot something. We've stopped something. We've gotten lackadaisical with something in our life and in the disciplines of our life, and that has quenched or stopped or thwarted or held back the unity that God wants to have with us. How many of you know, and you hear me talk about it a lot, there's a verse of scripture that I think is so profound and so powerful, and it's this: if you draw nigh unto God, he will, actually, some translations say, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And you've heard me say this before. How many of you know there's a sequence of things that happen that create the causation of what will be the application? It's not God just chasing after us. How many are thankful his amazing grace is always chasing after you? But sometimes you've got to turn around and you've got to draw nigh to God, or you've got to stop and draw nigh. How many know some of us are so busy, God can't even catch us? That's the truth. So some of us, sometimes we just have to stop. We have to pause and we have to say, God, I'm so busy with life. I'm so busy in what's going on in my life that I've forgotten to unify myself with you. I'm so busy doing extracurricular things that the most important thing is getting overlooked. Man, that was good. And so I need to stop and I need to force myself. I need to do something specific to draw near to you because I know you're true to your word and you want to draw near to me. Can I hear an amen on that thought? Jesus, the very last prayer, it's one of the largest prayers in all of Scripture, if not the largest prayer in all of Scripture that we read. It's actually referred to as the high priestly prayer. And it's Jesus is praying, and John must have been eavesdropping in on Jesus or listening when it says that all of the disciples were sleeping. I got a feeling that means all of them, but somehow we get John chapter 17, which means that John must have stayed awake a little longer to hear what Jesus was speaking and praying and declaring in the garden. And he gives us a powerful prayer. And how many of you know the gist? If you haven't read John chapter 17, I urge you to read the totality of the whole chapter. But in John chapter 17, basically, Jesus is requesting of his Father. He's not requesting of his Father. That's all before. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but thine be done. How many of you know it's not in chapter 17 that this is happening, where Jesus is dealing with his own flesh and his own controversy with what's about to happen to him, with the agony of the cross and the whipping post and all of that kind of stuff. Right now, he's praying for one thing, and he's praying this, that what he has deposited from heaven in his life from the Father will be broadcast and will be declared and will not stop through the disciples that have been made, that have believed that he is one with the Father and the Father is one with him. That's the main theme. Can I hear an amen? He says it in verse 11. He says it in some of the verses we're going to read right now. He says, Father, as you have seen me be one with you and you are one with me, let them see that we are one with one another so they can walk in that oneness too. Anytime one is talked about in scripture, it's always referencing unity. Yeah. Okay. How many of you know, not to skip to next week, but how many of you know Father came down and he made Adam and he realized that he was lonely and pathetic without woman. Can I hear an amen, guys? Because that's the truth. Some of you are looking at me weird, but it is the truth. So he took a rib and he created woman and he brought them together and he said, the two shall become. He wasn't, a lot of times that's misreference. It's all referred to in the essence of sexuality or sex. How many of you know that's one little minuscule part of what God is meaning when he talks about oneness there? He's talking about unity. He's talking about partnership. He's talking about when you see the two of them, you see one of them. When you get one, you get the other. When you get the other, you get the other. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Hey, anybody in here ever think it's been profound that when you see people that have buried, and it's not everybody, but it's amazing to me that there are many couples that's been married 60, 70, 80 years, and after a while, they even start to look like one another. I don't know how that happens. Anybody ever thought that was kind of creepy? You know, this, I don't, they look like brother and sister. This is quite awkward right now. Because not only have they created that oneness in their relationship and marriage in being united in every facet, but they're also united in the context of themselves being with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. So anytime oneness is talked about, and it's amazing to me in this prayer, Jesus prays a prayer that is still a prolific desire of his heart today. How many of you know that this prayer in John chapter 17 was a continuational prayer, not an ending prayer? Jesus' desire here wasn't that he would just pray this one time, and it wasn't just for the 12. You can read that in about verse 12 or 13 where it actually does. He's mentioning all of his disciples and those that are to come. Look at the person next to you and say, you're the ones that are to come. Look at him and say that. You're the one that is to come. You're the ones that are to come. So he's praying for the current disciples, yes, but he's praying for all of us as his disciples that we will realize the power and the prolificness and the importance of unity, of oneness. Out of all of that, how many of you know Jesus didn't pray for your prosperity? He didn't. Jesus didn't pray against all of the devilish evil attacks that would come upon your life. Jesus didn't pray for your ultimate success and your great fortitude in this life to be seen and heard by all men and all people. It's amazing to me that throughout all of chapter 17, he prayed one themed prayer, and he prayed this, that all the disciples would be one with him as he is with the Father, so that there could be a triune connection. How many know that's always been Jesus and the Father's deal? Is he created you to have relationship, not to just live through this life waiting for the end of it or bemoaning every day of it. You need to be with me today. Everybody understand what I'm saying? The enemy's desire is for you to bemoan your life and begrudge your life and to be frustrated in your life every day of your life. God's desire is to bless your life so that you can look like him every day of your life, so that you can experience him every day of your life, so that you can change the world with him every day of your life. That's the purpose of oneness. So good. So good. So we're going to take some context from this. John chapter 17, verse 21 through 23 says this, that all of them may be one. Everybody say all. That means all. When the Bible says all, guess what it means? Not trying to be sarcastic or flippant there. It means all. So I want to declare this to you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Jesus did not pray this prayer, and Jesus did not create the church through Peter to give us 1,720 legally legitimate licensed denominations throughout the United States of America and the world. It's not whether you're a Baptist or you're a Methodist or you're a Charismatic or you're a Pentecostal or whatever you are. God created oneness so that we would reflect and we would shine Jesus Christ above anything else. Can I hear an amen? And we've gotten that twisted, that our way is the best way to Jesus. How many of you know Jesus is the best way to Jesus? Just thought I'd settle that this morning before we went any further. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have. So the testimony that you have, that Jesus is who he says he is when you're united with him and when you're not united with the Father. When you look like Jesus, when you act like Jesus, when you talk like Jesus, when you do what Jesus does, the world gets to see. That's what he's saying in verse 21. Then he keeps praying in verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me. So he came to impart something. How many of you know two things he came to impart? Number one, obviously he came to impart glory. Greater things will you do than you have seen me do. How many know he made that declaration? Give me a big amen on that. And the second thing that Jesus came to release, we could not have and we could not receive and we could not be infilled with the power and the presence of the Father and the Son through the authority of the Holy Spirit until Jesus paid the atonement through the cross to give us that benefit. All of us should desire the presence and power and the ongoing infilling of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as you are one. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete. Is it coming up there fast? Okay, let me read it again. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete. To complete. Not just with the people we like. Not just with our clan, our culture, our creed. Can I hear an amen? Remember the word all? Okay, it still is referenced here, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. Psalm 133, I want you to look at that this morning real quick. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in. How many of you want to do whatever you can in your life to bless God and to make things pleasant for God in your life? Come on, just raise your hand. It's not a trick question. How many of you want to bless God with your life? Just wave at me. I want to bless God with my life. I want my life to bless God. I want my actions to bless God. So if you've ever asked that question, here's the answer to it in verse 1 of 133 of Psalms. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Look at verse 3. We're going to analyze that. It is as the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Now I want you to look at this next part. For there the Lord bestows. The word bestows actually means commands. Everybody say commands. Some of your translations that you're reading right now will actually say command and not bestow. For there the Lord bestows or commands his blessing, even life evermore. So when you walk in, listen to this. When you walk in unity, the Lord commands a blessing to follow you. How many know people want the blessing, then they'll get unified? That's not the order. You get unified, then you get the blessing. Ooh, that was good, Pastor Jim. Hebrews 10, 22 and 23. These are all the foundation. This is the bottom of what we're going to build upon over the course of the next 3 weeks of the campuses. Hebrews 10, 22 and 23. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Look at this. This is out of the NIV. Let us hold unswervingly. You ever met a Christian that's swerving all the time? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. They got some new thing that they saw on a blog site, and everybody has to, we're swerving all the time. There's always swerving. Okay? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning for your word that is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, your word transcends and transforms, Lord, beyond anything we could think, imagine, or hope for. Lord, I ask today that your word will bring enlightenment to us and your blessing to us today in your name. Amen. Does anybody know what Elul is? E-L-U-L. Does anybody know what Elul is? Everybody looked up at the screen hoping that you could get the answer. It wasn't there for you. Elul is the name of the month of August on the Jewish calendar. The month of Elul is the month of August. So everybody say Elul. How many know what month we're in? We're in the month of August. Pastor Jim, why do we switch from Unity to the Jewish calendar? I'm glad you ask. Elul is through the month of August, and it means harvest. Everybody say harvest. So Elul means harvest. The month of Elul is a time of repentance and preparation for the holy days. So August is the month preceding Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. Everybody understand that? All of the holy days that are about to be embarked upon in their yearly calendar. The word Elul is similar to the root verb search in Aramaic. Listen to this. The Talmud writes that the Hebrew word Elul can be expanded as an acronym with this, Ani li dudai vidudai li, which is translated, I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. How many of you know the month of Elul is the Jewish place in the Jewish calendar where people get united in repentance to God to get prepared for the coming holidays? It's exactly what it is. So in essence, Elul is seen as the time to search one's heart and draw close to God in relationship and unity, preparing for the coming day of judgment. How many know the coming day of judgment is Rosh Hashanah? And the day of atonement is Yom Kippur. Everybody, hopefully you understand that. If you've been on Wednesday nights to my study on Jewish, then never mind. Okay. So Pastor Jim, why is that such a big deal? Not only is it a big deal for the Jewish context, but I think it's a big deal for us. This month, we've chosen to speak on unity directly in order to prepare us for what's to come ahead of us and in the world. Can I hear an amen? If we don't understand unity, everything that comes after this will cause us to be discouraged, despondent, frustrated, and aggravated, which we're going to get into depth in just a few moments. What are the steps to embrace unity in God? I'm going to give you two steps with a whole bunch of sub-ideas this morning, but here's the first one. You got to change your focus. What are you looking on? If you want to be in unity for God, you cannot watch Fox, CNN, MSNBC, BBACAFGQRD, LMNOP, and all the rest of that, and expect to walk around in peace and tranquility. Don't ask me to do that again. That's a one-time shot, I'll tell you right now. But there's some powerful truth in that. Can I hear an amen? What you focus in on, what you're focused in upon, is what you will absorb, become, and only be able to reference and see. Are you searching for unity? Are you searching for ways to join somebody in unity to revolt? They're like, oh, this is going to be a sweet message on unity. No, 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 no. Everybody say, change your focus. Change your focus. Where you're going is more important than where you've been. Where you're going, everyone look up here, where you're going is more important. Do you understand the only thing that the enemy can define your future in is by reminding you of your past? The only thing that you can define the enemy is to remind him of his future. So you have two powers there. Number one, you need to start reminding the enemy of his future. He's done. He's finished. And you need to not to continue to accept what he declares over you about your past. If you stay encumbered by who you used to be, you can never have the purpose and the fortitude and the anointing and the glory and the power to become who God's destined you to be. That's the trap. You keep going around your own Mount Sinai. Hopefully you understand the metaphor. How many of you know that the children of Israel should have taken at maximum 12 days to get from Egypt to the promised land? Why did it take them 40 years? Because of their critical, despondent, frustrated, angry, doubting, wavering, swerving spirit. They wouldn't be unified with God. They wouldn't believe that God's promises were yes and even after they saw miracles, they still wouldn't believe. So they did laps around. That's basically what they did. There's songs about it. They did laps around Mount. Anybody in here ever felt like your life is one lap around some huge mountain you can't get? Three people. All right, I'll preach to those three people. But here's the application. If you're continually looking behind you, you can't see what's in front of you. I don't know about you, but I like failed army. I know, pray for me. It's one of those indulgences that I watch, not because I like to see people get harmed, but it makes me feel good about my own clumsiness. And so any of you that don't go on YouTube right now and look it up, but Failed Army is a bunch of videos that are collaborated over people's demise. And what I watched one the other day, and I just had to laugh. Because it was a young man down on the street, and I don't know if it was his friends or whatever, but they were videotaping him walking down the street, and a beautiful young lady in a red dress comes walking by, very tight fitting. And when she walked by, of course, he had to look what was behind him, not what was in front of him. And he ran into a street sign and about knocked himself out, actually fell down. You know, you could tell the guy that had the phone was laughing, and, you know, he's rubbing his forehead. And that was all well and good. I'm like, you know, okay, that happens. About 16 or 18 clips into the Failed Army, it's the same guy in different clothes with the exact same scenario. And this time he runs in front into a telephone pole. And I thought, maybe they're doing this on purpose. But when he got up, I realized, how many of you know, so often you spend more time in the sin of what's embraced you in the past that no wonder you can't see what God's got in front of you in the future. Here's the first sub-thought. Under this, if you want to be united with God, you cannot depend on past victories to sustain you. Now, I love this song. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to count. Count your blessings, name them. But you know what's there? You got it. You got it. Very good. That was good. We need to sing that, Pastor Jimmy. That's a good song. You know, the problem right now that's happening in the church is we're spending more time talking about the good old days instead of talking about the days that are to come. People now, I get emails all the time or text all the time trying to regenerate the anointing of yesterday instead of pursuing a new anointing for tomorrow. Listen to me. Listen to my heart. Nothing wrong. Yes, we need to count our blessings, but if our blessings from the past entrench us and in bondage us to the blessings of the future, how many know the children of Israel had many victories and unities with God in their past? How many know if God would do in your life what he did for the children of Israel when they left Egypt, you would probably change some of your direction, hopefully. Can I hear an amen? You know, pillars of fire, walls of fire, ocean splitting. How many of you know that'd be pretty good for your life? Can I hear an amen? Leaving Egypt, they conquered the land of Canaan. They fought up prospective conquerors, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Philistines, all the otherites. They survived a split and division in their nation. How many of you know that Israel had a split? You ever notice that concept and those problems sometimes that happen? Here's the application. The question isn't what has God done. The question must be what is God doing in my life right? So I want everybody to look up here. I want to ask you that question, and I just want it to stimulate some spiritual recognition in your life. What is God doing new, powerful, special, intense, that you're partnering with and you're going after and you're drawing new in your life right now that he's never done in your life before? I want you to think about it. That's not, it's sobering. It's not to be laying a heavy, but I want you to think about it. And you've heard this statement many, many times before. And I don't repeat it just to bring grievance, but I repeat it to bring emphasis. You're as close to God as you want to be. The unity of the Father is not solely his fault and all the context of your life and all the conflicts of your life. A lot of the problem with the unity of the Father is you're as close to the Father as you want to be. That was really good, Pastor Jim. What is it? Listen to this. What is it that you want God to do in your life right now? Here, I want everybody to look at this. Sometimes, and I believe this is what's happening in our society right now, we're so encumbered about all the stuff that's happening that's disintegrating the unity of our nation and all the other kind of stuff that we're not focused in independently on this right now. What is it that you want God to do in your life right now? Are you asking? You receive not because? Everybody look up here. You receive not because? When's the last time you got alone with God and you started asking him for special things in your life? Here's the problem. Many of you have done that, and God didn't show up when you wanted. So because he didn't show up when you wanted, you started pouting, and you punished God with doubt, and you started swerving. I'm going to go talk to this side over here for a minute, because that was a really good point. You got so enamored and so encumbered by the discouragement of what God didn't do the way you wanted him to do it when you wanted him to do it, that because he didn't show up like you wanted him to show up when you wanted him to show up, you decided that you could swerve and do what you want. And how many of you know that cost you more than you wanted to spend and took you further than you wanted to go? Because ultimately, it led you out of the unity of the things of God in your life. Here's the next thing with this. If you want to be in unity with God, you cannot allow your past failures to possess your future potential. Pastor Jim, you should just hear what I've done. You know, one of the greatest testimonies of this last three decades that I've heard is Todd White's. Todd White has a phenomenal. He was a drug dealer, a drug addict, beat his wife. You ought to hear. We've had him on this stage talk about it. And now he's turning the world upside down for Jesus. I want to share something with you. Don't ever think that what the enemy has meant for harm in your life, God can't turn it to good if you'll make it that way. You've got to change the perspective in the way you're looking at what happened to you and no longer use it as a victim mentality or no longer use it what we heard today. I just want right now to say, Jamie hit the nail on the head today. We're spending too much time making a shrine of our hurt than we are letting our hurt give us a witness for the things that God can do through us and in us. Man, that's good stuff. If you're going to get anywhere in your spiritual life, you must understand that you used to be, who you used to be doesn't have to dictate who you can be. Well, Pastor, that's well for you, but everybody keeps reminding me of who I used to be. That's because you're still partnering with the old man more than you are with the new one. You start walking in the new man and they won't see the old man anymore either. Here's the next one. If you want to be in unity with God, you can't live on yesterday's faith or manna. You can't do it. How many know we need a brand new faith? Listen to what this says. Hebrews 10. I read it earlier, but I want to extract something that we may have just breezed through real quick. Hebrews 10, 22 and 23. I give you that text. Let us draw near to God. Give me amen. You draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that what brings? Faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Woo! How many know we need to get rid of the guilty conscience? And having our bodies washed with pure water. How many know he's talking about baptism? He's talking about the symbolism of baptism, that you can't keep living in the old man and expect for a new man to come out or a new person to come out. Here it is. And I love this. Here it is again. Let us hold unswervingly. I love that word. That is my new word. Get ready, staff. You're going to hear that a lot. Let us hold unswervingly. Anybody ever been in a car and you weren't paying attention and all of a sudden the driver swerved and you just wanted to hit him even though they may have protected you for something? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're riding along, everything's peaceful, you're listening to music, you're not really paying attention, you trust who's driving, all of a sudden, whoop, and you're like, phew! What are you doing? Are you paying attention? Well, yeah, actually I was. That's what saved you from hitting us hitting that great big thing in the middle of the road. How many of you know, to the point you don't like to swerve, neither does God like you swerving? Who's in charge of the wheel of your life? We can tell real fast by how you swerve. To the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. I don't want to give any glory where glory isn't due, but I want to say this. How many of you know that the enemy's in an all-out push all the chips to the center of the table, last-ditch effort to steal, kill, and destroy God's people like he never has before? How many know that? I mean, we've got to articulate that in order for us to rebound and rise above it. I loved what was said about rising above it. So here's the key question. Listen to this. Here's a key question, and I'm going to give you some understanding of it. Here's the key question. What is the strategy for that? From the enemy, obviously it's to fragment, divide, confuse, and to discourage and frustrate God's people, causing them to doubt and become cynical with their faith and hope. I've prayed, it didn't work anyway, so why waste my time? I read the Bible, I believed the promises, it didn't happen for me, so why should I read it anymore? I worshiped, I exalted, I praised till my throat hurt. Here's the key question. What is the strategy of the enemy? It's this, to fragment. Listen to this. Listen to this. This needs to be in the big C church like never before. It's to fragment, divide, confuse, discourage, and frustrate God's people. Everyone look up here. Do you realize that any amazing, supernatural, powerful intervention of God always came on the heels of unity from his people? If you want the United States of America to change, then the Christians, I don't care denomination, the Christians have to unite to see God's power and glory fall. That was really good. That needed a bigger amen there like never before. How many agree with that? We've got to get past how we do communion. Oh, give me a break. We've got to get past just all the music that's sung and the way that it's sung. I don't like it to be this way. I like it to be that way. How many of you know your preferences will block your purpose? We've had way too many preferences in the church that has drawn and lied and stole the purpose of the church. The church has become about me instead of the church being a place where I get ignited so I can be about him. Oh man, now I'm on it. How many of you know that your preferences to the things of God will thwart and quench the unity of the purpose God's intended for your life? Let it go. Let it go. I don't know where that came, but that was free anyway. Okay. How many of you know we cannot afford to let our faith waver, swerve, or falter? Here's the next thing. Here's the next main point. Clarify your focus. How many of you know you need to have focus? And the second thing you need to do is you need to clarify your focus. I'm not one to want to break commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff. But here recently that happened in my life. Pastor David DeFlippo won a pair of binoculars. And he made the mistake of bringing me out to his truck to show me these high-fangled $1,000-some-odd binoculars that he won. He was very excited about them. And when I put them up to my face, I was very excited because they weren't much different than my $150 pair of binoculars that I thought at first. And, you know, the ocular stuff shaking, you know, the wavering that you get by holding a pair of binoculars, and then all of a sudden he said, push the button to the right. That's where the sin happened in my life. Was the button on the right. Be careful of the button on the right. That's If you want to know this, Pastor David will be sure to share this with you. But I pushed the button on the right. When I pushed the button on the right, it froze all of my wavering. And it solidified what I was looking at. And when it did, it came into focus and it was way clearer. Thus the reason why I had to repent later on. How many of you know, listen to me, how many of you know the whole point of the Holy Spirit is to be the button on the right? You can't afford not to have him. You can't afford not to go after him. This is good preaching today. Clarify your focus. Discover what God wants for, not what does God want for the church. That's great. And we're going to do that. But how many of you know we have, this is the problem with walking in the clarified focus to walk in unity with God, is we're scabbing off other people's. I want to get close to you because you're close to God. Okay, that's fine. But there's got to be some point where you get close to God and it has nothing to do with somebody else being the third wheel. How many know a third wheel in a relationship at some point is going to get run over and left behind? So it's great to have a mentor. This is what I'm talking about. It's great to have a mentor. It's great to have somebody that you revere and respect. But someday you got to get your own manna. You got to get your own faith. You got to get your own authority. You got to get your own power. You got to get your own unity. You got to get your own Holy Spirit from your own knees at your own prayer closet. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Here's the application. What do you see when you view your life? What do you see when you view your life? Right now, what do you see when you view your life? Do you see possibilities or problems, conflicts, and struggles? Some of you had a fight with your spouse on the way to church. Matter of fact, some of you have had a residual fight with your spouse for 40 years. Pastor Jim, I thought you were talking about family next week. I was planning on not coming next week because of that, but oh, I'm going to hit it all. What do you see when you view your life? Do you see possibilities or only problems, conflicts, and struggles? Do you realize that the enemy in the media and life right now and the social demographics of all of the things that are happening to our society and our culture is to cause us to see the negative and not the positive? We got to fight against that. Can I hear an amen? Notice what God said as a promise to the Hebrew people when they exited Egypt. I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Everybody say wastelands. How many think God can still make a way in the desert and still make streams in the wasteland? Whew. In order to discover what God wants for you, you need to do these next things. Look at this. You must first see yourself as... Here's the problem. You spend way too much time seeing yourself as you see yourself. God's already moved on. How many are thinking? Here's the problem. Some of you are stuck in who you were 40 years ago, and it's still defining who you can be or shall be in Christ today. And God's been waiting for you to get past that so you can get beyond the context of that so you can be a new creation in Christ Jesus. You must first see yourself as God sees you. So I want everybody to look up here this morning. If I were to come down here to Jessica and Garrett. Now you're laughing. Why are you laughing? Because I got the names flipped, but I didn't because you're one. I did it on purpose. You're Garrett and you're Jessica. And it isn't because you have sexual relationships. It's because you've made a covenant. See, this is where we've lost it. We made a covenant with God by his blood. Everybody hearing what I'm saying? That's a whole different sermon. You'll get that next week. So I'm back to you two. How many of you know that if you guys keep seeing yourself for who you used to be in your flesh and who used to be in the world, those things will continue to be attached to you so greatly that it'll stop the purpose and the promise that God has for you in the future to come. And then here's the frustration. You keep going around the mountain doing the same thing the same way, experiencing the same yuck with the same residue and the same conscience and the same guilt, and it brings you right back to the Red Sea instead of crossing it. You must see yourself as God sees you. So I want to ask you this. I'll get back to Garrett and Jessica for just a few moments, and I got them right this time. That's Garrett and that's Jessica. If God were to walk in this door, first of all of us would be on the ground flat. Can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
So I don't want to be so trite in my metaphor. But I were to look at God and say, God, you tell me about Jessica Steenland. Do you know he's not going to tell me one thing you would tell me about yourself? Not one thing. None of that. None of that, Jessica. You need to look your pastor in the eye, your shepherd in the eye. None of that is even going to be recorded in the reference books of the computers of heaven. So you stop allowing it to define you today.
Amen.
Garrett, if I ask him about you, he's not going to tell me about 16-year-old Garrett to 18-year-old Garrett and all the mistakes that were made. He's not going to tell me about the 27 and 28-year-old Garrett and all the mistakes he made. He's going to tell me about the Garrett that is to come, that he's waiting for to partner with him so that Garrett can be that person. That needs an amen. You must first see yourself as God sees you. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no, what is it? For those who are in. So if you're in, you're one. Can I hear an amen? In and one together right there. So if you're in unity with Jesus Christ, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Can I hear an amen? Colossians 1, 21 and 22 say this, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. When you stand before God, all he sees is the blood that the Lamb shed to cover you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
This morning, debilitating discouragement, depression can be biological or situational and often can be the result of both. Listen to this. However, one of the leading causes of depression is setting your standards so high that you can't possibly live up to them yourself. I'm going to talk about something here in a minute. You're constantly striving for a standard that's unattainable, yet you wear yourself out trying to do so anyway. Here's my heart. One of the messages that can play over and over in your minds is that we have to be perfect. Everybody listen to this. You've already been made perfect in Christ Jesus. Quit trying to prove it to everybody else and just come underneath him and be one with him as he is one with you, and you'll already attain that. Oh, that's good stuff this morning. Can I hear an amen? How many know we often fall into the trap of feeling responsible, not just for ourselves, but for the lives of other people? You know what the problem with many people are? We think we've got our act together, but we're worried about our coworkers, we're worried about our kids, we're worried about our family, and we're worried about a partridge in a pear tree. And Lord, my life would be all better if all my nest was fluffed. I just want to share something with you. God didn't call you to fluff your nest. God called you to fluff your heart. Well, that was good. Some of you will get it later. How many know? Most everyone knows that God's grace is a gift. How many know that? In and through his grace, God heals and brings us the freedom to live a new life. Sometimes, though, grace does not come easy. Grace costs something. We must work at changing our thinking, and we need to humble ourselves to accept God's grace and extend grace to ourselves. Here, I want everybody to get this. This is going to be the greatest thing of unity. The problem with unity is nobody is extending any grace to themselves, and you can't extend grace to somebody else if you don't have grace for you. So you're walking around in condemnation. You're walking around in your past. You're walking around with the residue and the doo-doo of the world. You're walking around in your opinion. You're walking around in your anger. You're walking around in your doubt and speculation. You're walking around in your frustration. And you're wondering why nobody wants to be around you. I just want some friends, Pastor. Well, change who you're united with, and maybe the friends will show up to see who's in you, not what's about you. Oh, that was good. How many know you must see your possibilities as God sees them? How many of you know all of us have possibilities as Pastor Jimmy comes this morning? God has already set into motion a new direction, a new purpose for your life. The question is, will you follow it? 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, we're going to read that real quick. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. So I've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit and walking in the Holy Spirit, and having the Holy Spirit. And here's the reason why. When the Holy Spirit's in you, you've got freedom. You don't think the same. You don't walk the same. You don't look at the same stuff. You don't do the same thing. And we who are with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. There's unity. When you start reflecting the Lord's glory, you're in oneness and unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are being transformed in His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This morning, here's one of the major things that we have to change in order to walk in true unity with the Lord. We cannot let our preferences dictate our purpose in God, or we're going to conflict with unity. I spoke on this for just a few moments ago, but I want to end on it. I'm going to give you four quick things that validate and reference somebody that's walking in unity with God. But we've got to get away from our preferences holding us back from the things that God wants to do in and through us. I want everybody to look up here. I want everybody to look up here. Not one of you are ever going to be able to find the perfect church, because it's filled with imperfect people that are striving to be perfect in Christ Jesus. And sometimes their imperfection rubs off on you. So you can go to lots of different churches and visit lots of different places, and you're still going to end up with the same type of residue, just different faces that represent them. That was good. At some point, you got to decide to be and plant where you know you're supposed to be and where God's called you to be, so that you can grow in Christ and not please man. Nor get your ears tickled. That's not going to change your destiny and your purpose. Woo! That was good too. So what is the visible evidence someone is walking in the unity of God? Here's four quick things. I'm going to give them to you real quick. How many want some evidence that you're walking with God and you're not walking in the things of the world? Okay, that's all I needed was a few of you. Here they are. Number one, unity with God makes you want to praise and worship Him. You can't help it. You ever found somebody that's in unity with God? They just want to praise and worship. I mean, almost to the point like it's annoying. Everybody understand what I'm saying? It's like, oh my God, here they go again. They just got to do their thing. I sure will be glad when they mature as a Christian and become more like me, cynical and cold, sitting here watching everybody else. Pastor's really on it today. This is good stuff. You know, the closer I get to God, the more I want to worship and praise. I don't have to. I want to. I get to. It's like, oh, here we go. They're going to make me stand. I don't want to stand. Here, how many of you know you're fighting your preferences that are holding back your potential? You're fighting your flesh that's holding back your spirit. Being a true worshiper of God is one of the highest honors and greatest privileges you can ever have. Listen to this. All of you that can't stand worship, what do you think you're going to do in heaven forever? You might as well get used to it down here so it doesn't annoy you there. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to be practical. Can I hear a big amen? Number two, here's one of the evidences. Unity with God makes you look more. It just does. You were created to make the image He created you in to shine. You were created in His image, and He wants that image to arise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord is rising or coming upon you. To be spiritually mature. How many of you desire to walk in spiritual maturity? Come on. Come on. To be spiritually mature is to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and become more like Him every day. You decrease so He can increase. Here's the third one. Told you these are going to be fast. Unity with God makes you desire and want to serve. You can't help it. You can't help it. I just want to serve. Why are you here again? I don't know. You know, we got other people for that. I know. I'll just sit and watch. I don't know. I'm just supposed to be here. I just want to serve. I don't care where I serve. I don't care how I serve. I don't care how ugly it is for me to serve. I just want to. When you're in unity with God, you want to serve. You know why? Because you're taking on the likeness of Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to be a servant to all. And you start taking on His persona. You start taking on His personality. You start taking on His characteristics. I want to show up. I don't know why. Why'd you come to paint? We have professional painters. I don't know. I saw people paint in the church and I thought, it's my church. I want to paint. Give me an amen, Pastor Jimmy. Amen. You like that one. How many know spiritual growth and maturity are never the end of Christian living? We have to walk in union with God and closeness with Him. The more we discover ways to serve Him, the quicker that happens. Can I hear an amen? Here's the last one, and then we're going to pray. Unity with God makes you want to talk about Him and witness for Him. So I want everybody to get this last commentary I'm going to say. Unity with God makes you want to talk about Him and witness for Him. A good tree is known by its fruit. Something happens when you desire to walk in unity with God. He becomes the center of your world. And whatever is the center of your world is what consumes your vocabulary and your speech. Unity with God makes you want to talk about it. Anybody ever been around somebody that had this particular attribute of the unity of God and you were like, can we talk about anything else but besides God and what He's doing in your life? And they're like, really don't have anything else to talk about. How many know that's a good thing? It doesn't mean God doesn't want you to enjoy pleasures and stuff like that. But here's the problem that's happened in the church. We spend too much time lying about the big fish we caught and less time about what Jesus did on the cross for us. We spend too much time trying to convince somebody of our political viewpoint than we do just talking about Jesus and what Jesus thought of politics. Stand with me. I'd like, if you would, just to bow your head and close your eyes for just a few moments. I want to end with some practicum to these thoughts this morning about being in unity with the Lord and being in unity with God. And this isn't a scale. So this isn't a 1 to 10 being superior and 1 being the worst. I'm not talking about things like that. So don't allow worldly things to enter in the commentary and in the connection of the word that I'm about to present for you today. Because what ends up happening when you bring the scales of the world in is 7 is average, so that's good enough. But God may be desiring for you to be a 12, to pass being a 10. Everybody hearing what I'm saying? So if all of a sudden you start comparing, everybody, you don't have to bow your head, look up here. You know what the problem that's happened within the church, within all of the things I'm talking about, the unity of God? Instead of being unified with God in the way that He desires to have a relationship with us, we're unified with God based on being better than everybody else that sits around us on Sunday. Pastor Jim, I feel pretty good today because at least I'm better than so-and-so because I know what they did this week. Boy, this is truth. Pastor Jim, I'm feeling pretty justified today. You preached a good message. I just hope the 4 people that are sitting in front of me heard it because they really needed it today, Pastor Jim. Bunch of heathens sitting in front of me. I mean, no, that's how we're doing it. We displace it in the comparisons of the people around us instead of displacing it in the character and the context of Jesus in us personally and individually. And that's what I'm talking about today. Where are you at in your unity and your presentation and your desire to seek Him and to find Him and to know Him and to experience Him and to be infilled with Him so that you want to worship, so that you want to serve, so that everybody looks at you and goes, oh, I don't see them. I see Jesus. And if you're here this morning, I don't want anybody to bow their head and close their eyes. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor Jim, I need to ask the Lord. This isn't, if you need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and come into your life, I doubly expect you to respond to this heart cry today. But this is for everybody. If you're in here today and you would say, Pastor Jim, I have fallen in some way out of unity with God. And I'm not as excited as I once was. And I'm living on past faith. I'm living on past victories. I'm living on past songs. I'm living on past things.
And I got it. And today's a challenge to me that I need to start pursuing, and I need to start being purposeful for what's to come, not what was. Because the destiny God has ahead of me is greater than what's been behind me. And this morning, if that's you, if you're sitting here, just for you, I want you to be honest with God. Who cares who sees you? But if you're here and you would say, that's me, I need to walk in better unity with God, I want you to raise your hand right now all across this room. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Be bold. Come on. It doesn't matter what anybody around you is thinking. This is between you and you and God alone. I need to walk in a better unity. I need to walk in a better unity. I've been thinking the wrong things, doing the wrong things, participating in the wrong things, saying the wrong things. I'm tired of what comes out of my mouth. I need to walk in unity with God. Anybody else? Just be bold today. This is between you and the Lord, and then I'm going to have a prayer over you. All of you that have your hands raised, I want you to put both of them over your heart. We're going to pray for your heart today. I've done a lot of teaching about the heart. That's why sometimes I feel led to have us do it, because it's in the heart that the mind, the will, your spirit begins to yield and begins to change. Everyone look up here. How many of you know that you can't have unity without sacrifice? That's the problem. That's the problem why many people don't walk in unity and many churches don't walk in unity. Here's the example. You do it like I'm doing it and you do it the way I'm doing it, then we'll be united. How many of you know that's not unity, that's a dictatorship? The truth. It's the truth. Unity is, how can I sacrifice? How many of you know where I get that example? In Ephesians chapter 5. Christ said this, husbands, lay down your life as Christ loved and laid down his life for his church. It's not what you want, it's what she needs. That's irritating a whole bunch of marriages. Man, I guarantee you could fix a whole lot of problems in your marriages if you'd get out of your own way. Which is the commercial for next week. Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning for your blessing upon your people. Father, I pray this morning that your word infiltrated their spirit and their heart, Lord, not just for another good message or a good talk that they were able to experience at Refuge City Church, but Father, today I pray it was something that will cause them and inspire them to want to be in unity with you in a greater way than they ever have before. Lord, they will not let their past dictate their future any longer. Father, they're going to clarify the focus today. Lord, they're going to change their focus. If their focus has been on the things of this world, if their focus has been on the conflicts of this world, they're going to change their focus, and then they're going to clarify it, and they're going to put it on you, Jesus, and you only. Father, may we begin to contend and go after the things of the Spirit like we never have before. Lord, may we begin to pray continually without ceasing. Father, may we pray daily without ceasing. May you be on our mind. May you be on our tongue. Lord, may we want to talk about you. Lord, may you be the center of our conversations. And Lord, I just bless your people today, every single hand that went up. Lord, I bless them today against any attack, any frustrations, any swerving that the enemy would try to do in their life. Lord, I speak to it today and I break it in the name of Jesus. And I cast it off in the name of Jesus. Today is the day. Today is the day that they will walk by faith and not by sight like never before. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for joining us. A special thank you to those of you that give generously to this ministry. It is because of you that this ministry is possible. You can click the link in the description to give now or visit refugecity.church for more information on how you can become a part of that team. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe, you can share it with your friends, you can take a screenshot and share it on your social stories, and make sure to tag us at Refuge City Church. Thanks for listening.